welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note to indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. In this season of Thanksgiving, not just Thanksgiving Day, but the weeks ahead, it's good to remember some of the things we have to be thankful for. And one of the most thankful people we know is a pharmacist from Carmel, a long-distance runner, mom of two preteen daughters, who suddenly found herself paralyzed from the waist down with a rare condition known as transverse myelitis. What happened next is a story of hope and determination. It's the story of Melanie Brown, told to us at the home she shares with the girls and her partner, Amy Harbin. This is the story of a mom, healthcare worker, and especially of a runner.
My mom used to joke that I was just a weird kid because I would come home from school, finish my homework, and just go start running. And so she was like, you know, all the other kids are riding their bikes or just playing ball or whatever, but she's like, you just run. You just went out and ran. It was really weird.
Was that a track team?
No, I'm from a really small town. And so we didn't have, I think maybe my junior or senior year, we did have a track team. But by then I was basketball and tennis. And I did do 1 year cross country. And because we had that my senior year as well. But just being from a small town, that opportunity wasn't there. So I just always liked to do it.
Why do you like running so much?
It just lifts your spirit. I think it feels so good. And so many other reasons that it's a stress reliever for me. If there's ever a time when I can't run, I can feel I just get all pent up. And it's just you against you and the road and the trees and everything else. And you're just going as fast as you can and as long as you can and competing against yourself. Takes no equipment, shoes and shorts, and you're set, right? So it's just easy and it just feels good.
And distance running, that's kind of a different, that's a mental kind of thing too, right?
Right, yeah. It's when I work out all my problems. My friends I run with, and actually Ani, my youngest over there, she was complaining because they were doing a fun run at school and she had to run a mile. And I was like, don't think about it. Like, you know, when you're running, you're not supposed to think about running. You're thinking about everything else, you know, sing a song in your head or think about what else is going on the rest of the day. And that's exactly what I do. I'm never thinking about how far I've gone or how fast I've gone. I'm just running and working out everything in my head.
Talk about some of the events that you've done, the distance events.
I've done one full marathon. That was when I lived in Arizona, and it was one of those things, it was a bucket list. I was like, before I turn 30, I want to say I've done a full marathon. Arizona was a perfect place to train for it. Where we lived, we were right by a mountain, so I could just hop on the trails and run through. And right, we also have a canal system there, so I could jump on the canal and get all my distance in. And the weather, of course, was very, very obliging. But so that was the full marathon I've run. I've done the mini here in Indianapolis, and I had also done the Indianapolis half marathon at Fort Bend before my injury.
Tell me about that injury. Can you kind of take it from the very beginning?
From the very beginning, yes. It was, so originally the only symptom I was having was a burning sensation in my back, and it was all the way across my back, kind of felt like sunburn. And so I went to the doctor and I said, you know, just because of my background in the medical field, I thought maybe I had shingles, even though I wasn't having pox, because I knew that's what it feels like a neuropathic pain. So I went to the doctor and she wasn't convinced it was shingles and, you know, said, let's just kind of wait and see because I'm not sure what it is. And then finally some pox started showing up. So I called her and started me on an antiviral. Well, then maybe 2 weeks after that, I started noticing some numbness in my leg. And didn't really know what it was. We had gone to Holiday World with some friends, and I never ride roller coasters, and I had ridden a roller coaster. So I was like, that's what I get for riding the roller coaster. I've twinged something. And at work, we're fortunate enough to have a tread desk. And so I was working night shift, and I got on the tread desk, and I was like, I'm just going to walk this out. And I got on there, and I did 5 miles on the tread desk, trying to work it out. It didn't go away, and actually when I stepped off the tread desk and started walking to my desk, I fell. My leg just gave out. So the next day when I got home from work, I went to MedCheck and was like, something's not right. I'm not sure what it was. They did a couple of x-rays. Nothing came back, so they just started me on some steroids, which was the right thing to do, thank goodness. But then it just kept progressing. And then I ended up going to the ER a couple of days later. And by that point, I was numb in both legs and was having trouble walking. I could still do it, but I was having trouble walking. And again, they did an MRI. I think that time that was all they did was the MRI. And didn't really come back with anything. Couldn't figure out what was going on. And they said, since I was still walking, they just wanted me to go home and follow up with a neurologist. 2 days later, I couldn't walk it. I was completely paralyzed from the chest down. So I went back to the ER. And of course, then they did more MRIs. What initially happened, they just got the wrong area. My injury is thoracic and cervical, and they had done lumbar. And so they just missed it initially. Did spinal tap. I mean, you know, everybody's in there freaking out because, you know, I'm just all of a sudden paralyzed. I was pretty freaked out too. They still couldn't really figure out what was going on. They thought maybe it was Guillain-Barré, which really scared me because then I was like, you need to start treating me now because, you know, I knew I could end up on the vent and everything like that. Eventually, a neurosurgeon came in and ordered a different MRI, which did finally show what was going on, and they were able to diagnose me with transverse myelitis. By that point, I was completely paralyzed from the chest down, couldn't move anything, didn't have any sensation at all. So pretty scary stuff. I was laying, I remember the MRI that he sent me to, he came in saying, you know, you could have an infarct, it could be a tumor. So I'm petrified going into the MRI, and then I had to lay in there for 2 hours with just me and my thoughts, which was terrifying. So when I came out and they were able to tell me, at least I knew that it was something that was treatable. I had never heard of transverse myelitis before, so they had to explain everything to me, that it was an autoimmune disease. So basically my immune system was just attacking my spine and causing the paralysis. And they explained it's really in thirds. A third of the people have no recovery once they have the problem. A third have a partial recovery, and a third have a complete recovery. And there was no way to know which third I was going to fall into at that point. Of course, mentally, I'm an eternal optimist, and I just knew. I was like, everything's going to be fine. And I had, hard to explain, but really just kind of a peace throughout the whole thing. You know, my friends would come visit me in the hospital and they'd see me, knowing I'm an athlete, a runner, you know, basketball and everything else, and how active I am. And they would start crying. And I'm like, it's going to be okay. I can feel it. I'm going to be fine.
A long distance runner, an athlete who loved basketball, now paralyzed from the waist down. Melanie was in the hospital for 9 days, then sent for rehab, still unable to walk. Up next, a long, painful comeback.
Indiana Weekend, interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
We're talking with Melanie Brown, the Carmel pharmacist, mother of two, long-distance runner, and in one very scary week 2 years ago, suddenly paralyzed from the waist down. Doctors struggled to figure out what was happening. Finally, the diagnosis: a condition of the spine called transverse myelitis, a rare autoimmune disorder. 9 days in the hospital, 5 weeks of therapy, and that was just the start.
First day in, they had me in therapy 3 hours a day, and you want to talk about that? That was hard work, because you know, you go from laying in a bed doing nothing to making you move all the time. It was exhausting, but you know, at this point, I'm really glad they did it, and I ended up staying there for a little over 5 weeks, and when I left, I still wasn't walking. I could move my legs a little bit, which was a good sign because I could have some movement, but I couldn't walk. I could stand. I would get in the parallel bars and I could stand a little bit, and with assistance, they could move my legs. And then they did put this electric stimulator on my foot and leg, and I could, with the walker, and somebody would walk behind me with the wheelchair, I could step, and then that would send an electric pulse through, and it would make my leg pick up again. So the technology was amazing. But yeah, still not walking on my own when I left there. So when I got home, that was shocking too, because of course I'm still in the wheelchair. We had built a ramp and two-story house. You can't, you know, I couldn't, I had to crawl up the steps, basically just pushing myself up. And we had to redo a lot of the things in the house to make it more accessible to me, put a pocket door on my bathroom down here because I couldn't even get into it. The wheelchair was too wide, you know, just a bunch of things like that that had to be addressed before I could even come home. And started going to outpatient therapy. And I did that 3 days a week for an hour. And that was pretty intensive. Well, and I loved my therapist that I had there also, because the first or second time I came in, she put me up on the walker and was like, we're just going to see how far you can go. Wasn't very far. But as I was leaving, she said, the next time when you come in for therapy, I want you to walk in on your walker from the car, which it wasn't that far, but it seemed like such a daunting task, you know, to be like, wow, okay. So I got there really early and I was able to do it. But I also, every day that I didn't have therapy, I was a member at a gym, and I would have a friend come pick me up, and I'd go down to the gym and work out with my arms, everything that I could figure out that I could do. I would push up onto the stationary bike and see if I could get my legs moving that way. And just doing everything I possibly could to be able to keep going.
You had to keep your spirits up all this time.
Right. Mm-hmm. That was the hardest part, especially in the rehab hospital, because you see so many people with so many different disease states, and you know, your heart just breaks for them. But at the same time, you have to keep motivating yourself. And my girls, you know, they were 8 and 10 at the time. They would come to visit me, and I would love it. I would be so happy to see them. But the minute they walked out the door, I mean, just break down. Of course, I want to be there with them. But that's also what motivated me, was to be able to, first of all, show them no matter what, you're going to get knocked down, but you have to keep working and you have to do everything you can, and to stay positive and all of that power, how that can improve your life. So.
And you're sticking with it. And then was there a time when you kind of like felt like you're turning the corner?
There's been a couple of those times, actually. The hard part about, I think, a spinal cord disease and spinal cord injury is you reach plateaus. I feel like, you know, especially when I'm in the inpatient rehab, she moved me up to a cane, and I'm like, oh, this is the best thing ever. I'm not having to use a walker. I can walk with the cane. But then it took me forever to get rid of the cane. So it's like you see these little steps, and then you realize you're going back, and then you're going forward again. So just patience. And that's the same way. I still have neuropathic pain that's pretty bad, and spasms. And sometimes I will go, you know, for a couple of days where the pain is just moderate. It's always there. It's always like a baseline pain, but tolerable. But then all of a sudden, and I never can explain why, it's just unbearable. So, and you know, things like that, it just gets so frustrating because you get used to just having a little bit of pain, and then it just shoots up, and it's defeating when that happens, but you just have to know.
Is it in your back where all this stuff started?
It's in my feet and legs is where it's constantly. In my back where the injury originally started, is every now and then, not all of the time, but every now and then it'll spike. And sometimes it even is like the stabbing pain right where the injury was, and I don't have any idea what causes that.
And then there came a time when you no longer needed the cane.
Right, exactly. And that was fantastic when I was able to start walking without the cane. And it's interesting how, so I was a big basketball player. Basketball was my love when I was in high school as well. And my therapist realized that I was thinking about it too much when I was trying to walk, because I didn't have sensation in my legs. So, you know, trying to walk when you can't feel when your feet are hitting the ground and things like that, it's really hard. And she noticed that I was focusing too hard, so she decided to give me a basketball and said, what I want you to do, and I'm just walking around in the gym, she said, I want you to dribble while you're walking. So once I started doing that, it became a lot easier. And that was how, actually, I was able to, after a long time, of course, was able to start running a little bit, because I would just dribble, and then I wasn't thinking about it as much, and I could run a little bit.
What's this period of time between when all this happened and when you were able to start walking again?
My diagnosis was July 14th of 2014, and I was discharged from the rehab hospital on August 26th of 2014, so that's how long I was inpatient. And I would say I was walking, I want to say walking without the cane, probably by November. So it was a pretty quick, I was working hard. It was a pretty quick turnaround.
Melanie Brown, a pharmacist, mom, and dedicated runner who suddenly found herself paralyzed from a mysterious condition. Her story of fighting back through months of rehab and uncertainty. Would she walk again? Could she dare hope to run again? In the season of Thanksgiving and gratitude, more of the runner's recovery just ahead.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Imagine in 1 week finding yourself losing the ability to walk, to stand, suddenly paralyzed from the waist down. The doctors say it may be permanent, but there is a recovery through months of rehab. But as Melanie Brown says, there were setbacks too.
There were times when I would still have to get back in the wheelchair or use the cane. Like if I knew I was going to be up for a long time or something like that, then I would definitely either take the cane with me or even take the wheelchair. We went to Disneyland. And the chair definitely went on that trip.
Did you play college ball?
I did not. I did not.
Played in high school?
Yep.
You know, some runners, some distance runners count steps or sing to themselves. Did you have to use your focusing powers? Is there any kind of comparison there between the sort of stick-to-itiveness, the I'm not going to quit, that it takes to finish a marathon, and what it took to get through this?
There was definitely all of that. I had to focus just because even still my stride is not right. So there's a whole lot of focus that I have to do just to make sure that I'm staying upright. I still have balance issues, and it's pretty easy for me to fall. And so I really have to focus on my steps and just making sure my hips are lined up and making sure my stride is, he said, it's really, really small now. It's funny. I'm really, really tall, but I have this short stride. It looks kind of funny. But there was definitely a lot of focus that had to go in. And just, I think the sheer drive that I knew I wanted to do it. I had done it before. And so I wanted to be able to do it again. And so I just kept working towards it. And so many friends too, that helped me be able to, keep training. You know, I have people that ran with me, that walked with me, that would drive me to the gym, driving me to therapy, everything else. You know, there's no way I could have done what I did without all my friends around me, that's for sure.
Of everything that's happened since then, is there a race or one of these where you thought, this is a real big victory?
I would say the Fort Bend Indianapolis half marathon, the one I did there, partially because I had done it before. And mentally, that was just like, transverse myelitis is not going to stop me from doing the things that I love. And I love being outdoors. I love hiking. I love running. And I had finished that one before. I wanted to be able to do it again. And when I crossed the finish line, it was just, I broke down. It was such a good feeling to know that it's not going to stop me. And it couldn't.
Think about that moment. You realize you're going to make it.
Mm-hmm. it was just overwhelmed with emotion. Basically, when I crossed the finish line, I just knelt down and was just so thankful and so gracious that I was able to finish it. And I don't even know if I can explain. It was an amazing relief. And I had the same emotion actually when I was running the Monumental, because when I got, there was probably about a quarter mile left, there was a wheelchair racer right next to me, and he was working so hard. And in my mind, I'm like, this could have been me. And, I went up to him, I gave him a high five, and I was like, great job. You're working so hard. You're amazing. And tears started coming. And then I was able to finish the rest of the race crying. But it's just, I just feel so blessed and lucky that I was able to overcome what so many other people have not been able to.
I asked Melanie to think back on the past year and what 2016 has meant for her. She said it's been an amazing journey.
At the beginning of 2016, I was still just barely running at all. And I could run on the treadmill, but I couldn't run on the ground yet. I think the propulsion of the treadmill is really what helped me. And since I was able to hold onto the side and hold myself up, and I could use the power of the treadmill to run. The first time I actually tried to really run outside was in a race, which was funny. I was like, well, I guess I'll just try it and see what happens. It was just a 5K. And I was able to do it. And that one hurt like crazy as well. That one probably hurt worse than either one of these two did. And but I was able to finish it again in tears. But once I finished that one, I knew I'm going to be able to do that. I'm going to be able to keep training and keep going and do this.
You get around the holidays and stuff. I mean, there's Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you going to be thinking about this holiday?
I'm always thinking about just how grateful I am, first of all, for all of my friends that were able to come around and help me. And we're actually going to have a big Friendsgiving this year where we're all going to get together and hang out and just talk about everything that we're grateful for. I had friends do anything from as simple as just watch the dogs while I was in the hospital to take my kids on vacation, on their family vacation, because we didn't have anybody to watch them over the summer. And since my partner works night shift, you know, we had to have someone there to watch them. So everything that they did was amazing. So going into the holidays, I think thankful for them and thankful for what I can do. You know, I still can't do everything that I used to do. There's still the pain and the spasms, and I still have to be very conscious of a lot of my movements. I sit down for a long time and then I go to stand up. It's gotten to the point where I can laugh about it, but grateful that I can at least go from sitting to standing without any kind of assistance. So just so thankful for all of that, and the doctors and nurses and therapists and everything that has helped me.
Melanie Brown, wife, mom, pharmacist, runner, and still recovering from an autoimmune disease that left her paralyzed until she fought back through months of painful rehab. She still has a way to go, but she's managed to run 2 half marathons during her recovery. And that, when you've been where she has been, is a special reason for gratitude. As the holidays approached, friends and supporters planned a big gathering. She said this special year means more than the holidays ever have. Oh, and finally, I want to thank all our IPR members who've been so generous throughout the year, and hope you'll open your hearts when you hear from us in December as we take care of some end-of-the-year business. We love doing the show and always appreciate the kind words you send along. So, as always, a big hearty thank you for that. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and all the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, and Debbie Webb. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.